Father, we just come before you right now, and we're just so thirsty and hungry for more of Jesus. Lord, we live in a dry and a thirsty land, Lord, and so we come to you, Lord, for living water today and bread, a bread of life today. Feed our hearts. I pray, Lord, every one of us, Lord, will this word will resonate with every single one of us, Lord, from the youngest right through the oldest, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. What's our theme at the moment? I am thankful, absolutely. And so last week, we began our three-part series on I'm Thankful. So I'm doing the second part today. And then next week, John Paul's going to be preaching. How about that? Are you thankful for that?
Yes.
I'm thankful for that too. Our key verse was 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18. We read it from several versions last week. And it says this, "Be thankful in some circumstances." For this is God's, that's right, be thankful in all circumstances. And I wonder what your circumstances are today. It's easy to be thankful for when everything's going well, but it's a little bit more difficult when to be thankful when things are not to your liking. But the scripture says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. If you can remember from last week, we looked at the great miracle that Jesus did when he healed 7 lepers. 10 lepers and of their leprosy. However, only one guy came back to say thank you to Jesus. And I challenged us all last week, challenged myself, let's be like that grateful guy. Let's be the one who comes back to thank Jesus. And you know, we come to church, or we are the church, but we gather in this facility each Sunday. And one of the things is we want to come here to give thanks as a church together. Amen. So we want to be like that guy. We also looked at three statements last week that if personalized will help us to be more thankful to God. They are, number one, I will recognize that every good thing I have comes from my own abilities. Comes from God. That's why we say grace. I know grace is going out of fashion these days, but as families, as we meet around the, you know, your dinner table to eat some food, or when you're at work, it's always good to say, thank you, Jesus, for the food that I'm eating. Thank God, I will recognize that every good thing I have comes from God. And secondly, I will not let what I want rob me of what I have. And then thirdly, I will turn every blessing into praise. Amen? Praising God for the blessings. And so we concluded last week that we have so much to be thankful for. Amen? And one of the things that came out last week is, let's be thankful that we live in Australia. You know, tomorrow is Anzac Day. And that's a time when we remember and are thankful for those who sacrificed so we could have freedom today. Amen? You know, you could be living anywhere else, but you're living in the best country in the world. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to continue with a great Bible theme. It is a great Bible theme of thankfulness. And we're going to start right now by reading a wonderful passage of Scripture. It's found in Revelation chapter 7, beginning at verse 9. Now, normally I put the Scriptures up on the screen, and I'll have some other Scriptures later on the screen. But for this, can we use our Bibles, everybody? So look in your Bible. I hope you brought your Bible. Maybe you've got it on, you know, your smartphone or your, you know, whatever, electronic device. If you don't have access to a Bible, maybe the person next to you will share their Bible with you. So maybe you can ask them kindly, shake their hand or something, and they can... I've written down the passage, so I'm actually willing to give my Bible to somebody who right now doesn't have a Bible to read. Anybody want to use my Bible? It's got big print. Amen. Okay, no worries. There you go. So Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. So here we go. Just with by the way, with the book of Revelation, it's right at the end of your Bible. It's really a series of divine visions that Jesus gave to the Apostle John. And those visions were about the future, about the last days, and about heaven. The overriding theme of the book of Revelation is, it can be summed up actually in two words, and those words are, we win. You say, I don't understand Revelations. It doesn't matter, we win. Read the last page. You might not understand what the beast is. That doesn't matter, we win. That's all that really matters. Amen? So this final book of the Bible is very important to you. It's important to me. It's important to Christians. And so we're going to read a passage now where the Apostle John is looking deep into the future and he's describing an amazing, surreal scene from heaven. So, verse 9, so John said this, "After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb." Where it says the Lamb, that means Jesus. "The people in this crowd were clothed in white robes and they held palm branches in their hands." Can anybody remember another place in the Bible where they waved palm branches? Palm Sunday, remember that? We spoke about that a few weeks ago. Verse 10, "These people were shouting with a great roar, 'Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb.'" These people in heaven are having a huge worship service. So we're just going to pause there for a moment. Keep your finger on the page. If you know Jesus as your Savior, then you will be a part of this vast, noisy crowd in heaven. Somebody listen to me today. This is actually in the future. You're actually going to be there. This is talking about you. If you're born again. If you're not born again, you won't be there. The white robes, very important. The white robes that they were wearing represent the righteousness of God. And just as you put on a robe to wear, we also, through faith, put on the free gift of righteousness that Jesus provided for us. Amen. The palm branches, very important. The palm branches represent the great joy that comes from God's provision. They wave them in joy, and that's what it symbolizes. So this vast crowd was a crowd of righteous, joyful people. So there was a real buzz and energy to this vast crowd. What a great word vast is. I like saying that word. Vast. Or vast. Please note, while you're looking at your scriptures there, that this huge crowd was made up of people from every nation, tribe, people and language. So this vast crowd was multiracial, just like Real Life Church. People will be there from all around the world. Another thought to consider is you will also be standing, because it's multiracial, you'll be standing side by side in that vast crowd with people who will be saved and in that crowd because of your missions giving and your missions praying. Come on. You know, let's be honest about it. You know, we've got a missions conference coming up soon. It's going to be great. We'll talk more about that in weeks to come. But right now, the truth is you can't really see all the results of your giving. But on that day, you'll see what your giving has done in missions. And people in that crowd will come up to you. John Paul, come here, please. He's just getting right into it. And somebody will just be tugging on his white robe. Saying, hey, thank you. I've got a white robe. I'm here because you gave to missions. I just want to thank you. And somebody's going to pull on your shirt. God bless you, John Paul. Your giving to missions is a big deal. It really is. So thank you for your giving to missions. So together we will be all shouting with a great roar, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." Amen? Let's keep reading. And all the angels, now these angels there, man, it's getting better all the time. And all the angels were standing. All the angels. How many of them are there? You know, the angels. This is a big crowd. All the angels were standing around the throne. Every one of them and around the elders and the four living beings. And they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground. And they worshipped God. Verse 12. And they sang, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen." What a scene it's going to be. Now, I've never heard angels sing, but I thought I might have heard one or two this morning. Amen. It might have been you. But on that day, you know, we're all going to see and hear the angels singing that giant worship service. The sheer magnitude of this vast crowd is just mind-boggling, absolutely. The atmosphere of that future day remains indescribable, yet even more inconceivable to our finite minds is that the throne of God is at the center of this surreal scene that John is trying to describe. God will be at the center of that huge, righteous, joyful crowd. Have you ever thought, what does God look like? I wonder what he looks like. I know God is spirit, I get all of that. But still, what does God look like? Here's another one. What does God smell like? You know, I wonder what he smells like. And another one is, what does God sound like when he speaks? You know, the Bible has, you know, metaphors and descriptive words, you know, like a mighty river and all that, like thunder. But what does he sound like to me? I think we're going to find out on that day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So in that vast crowd in heaven, not only will you be standing side by side with other believers, I'll be there. I'll be looking out for you. Amen. Actually, let's agree together that when we all get to heaven, let's just have a real life church spot where we all gather together. Wouldn't that be good? So not only are you going to be standing with other believers, and not only will you be standing side by side with mighty, powerful, and glorious angels, and not only will you see things so impossibly wonderful and just captivating, but you will see Almighty God. You will see Almighty God seated on the throne of heaven, arrayed in all of his majesty and splendor. You will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It's worth keeping a pure heart. And you will be gripped with wonder and delight at the sight of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and everything within you will be compelled to worship him. And in that atmosphere of worship, the mighty angels, in their beautiful voices, will sing, amen. What would that sound like? Blessing, glory, wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen. Heaven is coming our way. It's coming quicker than what you think. Heaven is coming our way. Time is ticking away. Heaven's coming real soon. And we will soon be part of that giant worship service. So remember, everybody, we win. You got troubles today? We win. Not feeling too good today? We win. Trouble with the kids? We win. But today, we're gathered in Gosnells. I thought I needed to say that just in case you forgot for a moment as we were again thinking about heaven. And now Gosnells, I actually do live in the city of Gosnells, a lot of you don't, but Gosnells may well be the leading suburb of our great nation. Slight exaggeration maybe. But no matter where you live, and people get carried away with, you know, where they live sometimes, some people, nothing on earth is anything like your future glorious home in heaven. You know, don't put your anchor down here. You don't belong here. You've got a home in heaven that outshines the sun. Amen? And so we wait patiently for that day when Christ returns. Everybody still with me?
Yeah.
Nonetheless, I love that word too, vast and nonetheless. Nonetheless, there are certain behaviors available to you today and to me that can create the right conditions for a little bit of the authority and for a little bit of the power of heaven to break into our lives in the here and now. I might be living in Gosnells, I might be living wherever, but I could still have a little bit of heaven in the here and now. You know, we're waiting patiently, but I can have some heaven in the here and now. Amen? Through the application of certain behaviors, you can have heaven actually impact your life. Absolutely. You can have heaven impact your family. You can have the power of heaven working in you today. Doesn't the scripture say, talk about the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come? we can have heaven in our hearts. Every time there is a miracle, that is a time when heaven is breaking into our world. Every time someone gets born again, and if you're not right with God today, today is a good day to become born again. Every time somebody becomes born again and they become right with God, that's when heaven is breaking into our world. Every time the devil's plans are defeated, that is a time when heaven came down breaking into our world. It's not all doom and gloom. We win, amen? And you know, we could do some winning today. What do you think, everybody, with that?
Amen.
I'm going to get another tissue. Is that all right, everybody? I'm feeling good, but my nose is just being rebellious. Amen. Flashes of glory, this is true, from heaven impact the world all the time. All the time. You just need to open your eyes and see. Flashes of glory impact from heaven impact the world all the time because someone somewhere has dared to step up and lay a hold of God. Someone has dared to become a conduit for the power of heaven to touch the world. Prayers offered in faith are one of those behaviors that can bring heaven to earth. Obedience to God, this is one that gets really minimized, but obedience is one of the most powerful spiritual weapons that a Christian can have. Obedience to God is another behavior that can cause heaven to touch earth. Generosity, very powerful. Read the story about Cornelius in the book of Acts. Generosity and kindness is another behavior that can unleash heaven upon earth. And thanksgiving and praise are also powerful behaviors that always get the attention of heaven in the here and now. And today, we're just briefly talking about thanksgiving. Giving thanks to God and praising God go hand in hand. And when you praise God, really in effect, you are thanking God. Is that right, everybody? Please note what the angels sang to God as they stood around his throne. They sang, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and amen." And God was seated in the middle of all of that thanksgiving and all of that praising. I've described that a moment ago. In fact, the truth is God dwells or lives in the center of an atmosphere of praise and thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving is the fragrance and atmosphere of heaven. Psalm 22, verse 3 affirms this. It declares, "Yet you are holy." This is about God. "Yet you, God, are holy, enthroned or seated on the praises of Israel." God dwells in the thanksgiving and the praises of his people. Psalm 100, verse 4 says this, "Enter his gates with grumbling, going to his courts with whinging." No, come on, you know what he says is there. Enter his gates with? Going to his courts with? Thanksgiving and praise go hand in hand. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, going to his courts with praise. The password for entering into the presence of God is always thanksgiving. Don't lose that password. When you give thanks to God, you can enter into his presence. Thanksgiving brings a little bit of heaven into our here and our now. Amen? A thankful heart is always welcome at the throne of God, but a complaining heart can never be found in the presence of God. You know, folks, atmosphere is everything. Obviously, we have the natural atmosphere around the earth that allows us to breathe the oxygen. And our bodies need that to function. Our bodies need the right atmosphere, obviously, to survive and thrive. We get that. But then there are other kinds of atmospheres too. Our homes have an atmosphere. Our homes have a feel to them. Sometimes you can pick it up when you go and visit somebody's home and you can pick up the atmosphere in their house. Some homes have an atmosphere of peace and positive expectation, while other homes have an atmosphere of strife and confusion, and you can feel it. Our lives can have an atmosphere too. We can live within an atmosphere of worry, fear, and anxiety, or we can live within an atmosphere of hope and joy. Obviously, it is better to live under the shadow of hope and joy. Therefore, it's so very, very important that we pay attention to the atmospheres that we live in and not just give up and accept the way such things are. Indeed, you can create a heavenly atmosphere over your life through thanksgiving and praise to God. Through thanksgiving and praise, you can move from an atmosphere of worry, fear, and tension through to hope, joy, and optimism. Isn't that what Amy shared a little while ago? You can have a little bit of heaven splashing upon your circumstances. And some of you really need that this week. You do need this. You need some heaven to splash on your circumstances and upon your soul by being a person who thanks God for all the good things He has done. And God will dwell in your praises and thanksgiving wherever you may live. Amen? It's no wonder that Thessalonians 5 verse 18 urges us to be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Very powerful verse. Instead of letting your circumstances determine your atmosphere, you take control and determine the right atmosphere through being thankful to Almighty God. You can do that. You really can do this. In the Bible, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we read about some really good people. They were coming under some serious pressure, and some people here today are under serious pressure. We read that King Jehoshaphat and his tiny little country of Judah were about to be overrun by a foreign army. That's pressure, everybody. That's serious pressure. The atmosphere over that tiny nation of Judah understandably became one of panic and alarm at the news of their impending disaster. Realistically, Jehoshaphat and Judah really had no power to defend themselves other than to pray. So they prayed with faith. And God encouraged them to go out and face the enemy. God promised them that they would not have to fight the enemy because the battle was not theirs, it was God's. That's for somebody here today. The battle is not yours, it is the Lord. Amen. It's the Lord's, it's God's. So King Jehoshaphat marched out with his army and he took along his music team to go and face the enemy. And he put them at the front. Amen. Oftentimes, the outcomes of life's battles are determined by the atmosphere that you choose to tolerate that sit over your circumstances. I'll just say that again. Oftentimes, the outcomes of life's battles are determined by the atmosphere that you choose to tolerate that sit over your circumstances. And King Jehoshaphat, he was a smart guy. He understood about the power of atmosphere. So he marched with his army to face the enemy. So as he marched with his army to face the enemy, he understood that he needed to change the atmosphere over his army from alarm and uncertainty to faith and confidence. And the Bible says this, that after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising Him for His holy splendor. And this is what they sang. It's very interesting. They sang this. They sang, give thanks to the Lord. That's what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord for His faithful love endures forever. And so when the king and his singers gave thanks and praised God, that was the moment when a little bit of heaven flashed into the world once again. Wherever there is thanksgiving and praise to God, there you will find God Himself. God's saying, somebody's thanking me, somebody's praising me, I'm going to be there. God was there, and the marauding enemies that were threatening Judah imploded upon themselves, and they actually self-destructed. Jehoshaphat was told he would not have to fight the battle, but he recognized that he still had to change the atmosphere over his army. Jehoshaphat was told they would not have to fight the battle, but he recognized that he still had to change the atmosphere of his army. In the same way, brothers and sisters, we have the great promises of God's word, but it's your responsibility to do something about the atmosphere that you're living under. It is your responsibility to create an atmosphere that God dwells in and an atmosphere where your own soul can breathe faith and joy and hope. Amen? And you change your atmosphere through thanksgiving and praise. God then does the rest. He breaks into the circumstances of your life. Amen? Therefore, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. What's the atmosphere in your life? What atmosphere are you living under? Now, there's something very, very, very peculiar about the human race. There's something very peculiar about you. Don't want you to get offended. But some of you here are really peculiar. And if I look at you, it's just by chance. And there's something very, very peculiar about me. Absolutely. I think I'm the most peculiar person here. Something peculiar about us all is an odd thing, really. And it's this. We all have something in our attitude. I was trying to choose the right words here. I don't know if I've succeeded in doing that, but hopefully you get what I'm trying to say. There's something in our attitudes, or we have a propensity to take things and take people and even take God for granted. We take good things for granted. Things, people, relationships that were wonderful, important to us, become things that we no longer value like we once did. When Rochelle and I were recently in England last year to visit Jared, we bought a guitar for Jared. As many of you know that our son Jared and Ben too, they both love music. And Jared wanted a guitar for his birthday, and he wanted to learn to play the guitar. And so we went with him to several music stores in London, and until we found a guitar that he liked. You know, he was trying different ones and that sort of thing, and he found one he liked. So we bought the guitar for him. We took it back to his unit where he lives, and he was really excited about it, and he had every intention to learn to play the guitar and get back into music again. So several months later, on the phone, I asked him how he was going with his guitar. You already know what the answer is, don't you? You all know. He hadn't even touched it for a while. It had become another dust collector. The excitement with the new thing came and went, and it's happened to you too. It happens to us all. Something good and something that we want soon loses value to us, and we just start to take it for granted. As a young man, I should have run this by Rochelle. I haven't. As a young man, I fell in love with Rochelle. I did. Actually, can I just say, here's a plug. We met each other at church in the youth group. Youth group's a great place. I give you the tip. Absolutely. That's why we got a great youth group. Anyway, as a young man, I fell in love with Rochelle, and she captured my heart. Absolutely, she did, and she's still got my heart today. Amen. She still has. But when I was dating her, I just couldn't wait to hear her voice. There's something, and no, you'll get it because she's my wife, but there's just something about the way she speaks that just does it for me. And except when she's angry. But, just to hear her voice. And there was something about her perfume, and I just wanted to just get a whiff of her neck. And I just wanted to kiss those sweet lips, I've got to be honest. And we used to talk on the phone. And let me tell you about something about phones. When we were dating, there was no such thing as a mobile phone. There was just landline. And I can remember when we finally got a phone in our house and you got a phone in your house. But we used to talk to each other on the phone. And we used to talk for ages. But then we could never hang up. You hang up first. No, you. You remember that? Okay, let's count to three. One, two, three. You still there? Yeah. So that was great, and that's all romantic, it's all wonderful. Absolutely, it is. But we've been married a long time. We got married in 1983, and we've been married a long time, and I have to admit that over the years that we've been married, there have been times where I've been just guilty of taking Rochelle for granted. Instead of answering the phone with, "Hi, babe," I found myself saying, "What?" Anything else you want to say? Okay. You've got to ask a question. Why did I do that? What happened to us? And folks, we're doing okay, so I don't need to manage counseling after. Let's give an example. What happened to us? Had Rochelle actually done anything wrong? And the answer to that question is actually no, not at all. In fact, quite the opposite. Rochelle bore me two wonderful sons. She kept a good home, always has kept a good home, and she's worked hard. and cooked great food. Did you do anything wrong? No. All that happened was I just did what we all do from time to time. I took my best friend for granted. And we do it with God too. Sometimes, you know, people come to Christ. And maybe it's all happened to all of us. Come to Christ, you get born again. You're on fire. You've got the gift of eternal life. Man, you're not going to go to hell. You're going to go to heaven. The greatest gift a human being could ever have is to be right with God. You tell your friends. You bring a few to church. You're at every service. You know, you're a guy, but you still go to the women's meetings. You're at every service, you know, in the church. And you just can't get enough of the Bible. You're living for God. And you're telling everybody in the church how they need to tidy up their life. Amen. You're living full on for Jesus. But over time, you start to cool down and their fire for God becomes diminished and they start skipping church and they forget to read their Bibles. What happened? They've just done what we all do from time to time. We take Almighty God and His awesome promises for granted. Has God done anything wrong? Absolutely not. Has God forgotten us? Absolutely not. It's us taking Him for granted. We have an inner propensity to take things, relationships, and God for granted. And this is a very serious problem that leads to discontentment in our lives. So not only do we need heaven to break into our circumstances and our families, but we also need, come on, we've got to be honest, we need heaven and the atmosphere of heaven to break into our very own attitudes. And the antidote that protects us from taking things for granted is to practice giving thanks in all things and in all circumstances. When you are thankful for something in your life, you add value to that something and it protects you from taking that something or someone for granted. Thanksgiving will bring the atmosphere of heaven into your attitude so that you appreciate the things you have, the relationships you have, and it even protects you from backsliding in your faith with Jesus Christ. A backslidden person is a person who's no longer thankful for what God has done for them. Not only does giving thanks and praising God set the atmosphere of our circumstances, or set the right atmosphere over our circumstances where heaven comes to earth, but giving thanks and praising God also brings the atmosphere of heaven into our hearts and our attitudes. The best thing that you can do today is to make the decision to be a thankful person. Be truly thankful. You might not achieve a lot in life, but achieve this: I will be a thankful person. You might never be a famous, rich person, but achieve this: I'm going to be a thankful person. Be thankful for what you have. Be thankful for the precious people in your life. And be thankful to Almighty God. Amen. What did the angels sing? The angels sang, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen. Through thanksgiving, let us bring the atmosphere of heaven to earth into our circumstances and into our attitudes. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Do you receive that? Let's just pray. Let's just pray for a moment. Father, we just come before you and Lord, we just repent of our grumbling, our whinging, and complaining. Now we know there's problems, Lord, that we have to be realistic about and address. But sometimes, Lord, we forget to be thankful. And we want to address that today. Lord, we do have situations that are not to our liking. We do have problems in our lives. And Lord, we have taken things for granted. But Lord, we just come before you today. And we just pray, Lord, that you'll forgive us for being grumblers, whingers, and complainers. Today as a church, we choose to be thankful people. We want to be that like that one guy who came back and said, thank you, Jesus. We pray in our services here at Real Life Church that there will be an atmosphere like heaven, an atmosphere of thanksgiving and praise to Almighty God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.